Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The language was spicy. The ramifications are near infinite. Just what did the latest landmark case out of the Supreme Court do for American jurisprudence and the Trump administration? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
I thought it was hysterical, the little visit that they had here. And he was arguing back and forth with Jerome Powell in the press conference. I don't want to be like sensitive about it, but it seemed rude, right? Did that seem rude, Kane?
Of Trump?
No, of Powell.
Oh, yeah, of course of Powell.
I was like, dude, slow your roll.
Let's cut one. We can play cut one.
Can we play this? Because they went back and forth a little bit. And I watched this a couple of times because I'm like, Dana, you're just being a brat. You're just focusing on, you're like trying to perceive insubordination where it's not there. No, I feel like I'm vindicated. Watch this. This is wild.
So we're taking a look, and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Yeah, it just came out.
Arno said it about 3.1 as well.
3.1.
3.2.
This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
You're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital.
Yeah, you just added in a third building. Is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
It's not new.
So we're going to take a look. We're going to see what's happening, and it's got a long way. Do you expect any more additional cost overruns?
Don't expect them. We're ready for them, but we have a little bit of a reserve that we may use, but no, we don't. We expect to be finished in 2027. We're well along, as you can see.
Nice to take these off every once in a while when we're not under too much danger.
I love it. But, I mean, he was like, no, that's... He kept arguing back and forth with him on stuff, and he was saying, well, you know, this is the... Yeah, but we're talking about the renovations. Can't correct me, like... Why is Jerome Powell trying to make us all feel like we're high and confused? It's Dan Patrick's worst nightmare.
I think that is the goal when it comes to an unelected agency like the Fed. They'd like to keep you confused so you don't understand what's actually going on. But what he's doing intentionally is trying to make the price tag look lower by not including the entire project itself. So what Trump's doing is just saying, no, this entire project is now 3.1, because even though you say you built this building.
You know what Jerome Powell just did? I don't mean to interrupt you. Judge me on this analysis, Kane. And all right, the rest of you, like, particularly the chat and Rumble. By the way, our chat's in Rumble, channel 347 is the stream of the radio program. He just did wife math.
What?
Would you like me to illustrate?
I would.
Okay. He did wife math.
All right.
So, hear me out. Let me make this make sense for you. Wives, I'm not indicting you. Don't come at me. I don't need the pitchforks. The jig is not up. So if I see like things that I kind of need on sale, like, so for instance, because you guys know I like to cook, and I needed, there were certain accoutrements. I'm going to bring the tugboat to shore. Bear with me. It's Friday. There's certain accoutrements that I needed, correct? So I needed like some, because I like to use like the silicone tongs, and especially if it's like a steel cookware, I'll use like a steel tong to stir instead of like spatulas and things like that. I just think it's more precise. Anyway, I needed some new things because I've had them for, you know, 10 years is a long time. So I'm like, I need to get some new stuff. Sur la table, which is fun for people in the burbs to say. Sur la table. Or Williams-Sonoma. They had like a sale, right? A sale going on, right? Usually like, you know, you get Memorial Day, you get a sale on things, right? I'm like, oh my gosh. I could get four for the price of two. I really needed one, but I could get four for the price of two. So that's what I did. My husband's like, you needed one thing. I'm like, but yes, listen here. Maybe it was a little more so I could get the sale price. 4 for 2 instead of just the 1. Just bump it up a bit. That sale price, though, right?
Yes.
Had to get that sale price, the 4 for the 2. And he's looking at me and he's like, you realize that you're still telling me that you spent more for the 4 for 2 when you really needed the 1. I'm like, yes, but. And he's like, yeah, but. I'm like, yeah, but the sale price, though. Right. So that is Jerome Powell, wife math. By the way, I am completely in the right on this. 4 for 2. That's a great sales price. I don't care if I had to pay like $10. I don't care. 4 for 2. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
You just like Jerome Powell.
It's a sale price. That's what he should have done. He was like right on the cusp of doing wife math. It's a sale price.
It's your scenario that you just described is exactly how it was, minus the sale.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So that part. There was no sale.
I'm a little more vindicated.
It's like if you counted, like say you had to buy 2 to get 2 free. You only counted the 1 that you bought, not the other 1 to get the other 2 for free. So you're like, correct. Oh, I bought this 1 and got this 1 for free. When in fact you didn't. That's the wife math, I think, that Jerome Powell's doing.
That's what he's doing. I recognize that trick. Yeah. And I sat back. I did one of these. I was like, oh, yep. You're using our tricks, I see. I don't like that because it exposes all of us. So that means an enemy to us ladies on a couple of different fronts. So, but that was a very interesting little back and forth that they had there, a little tete-a-tete that was, and it just seemed why he was so sassy with him. Trump was nice and jovial and he's like, yeah, you know, maybe he can lower these rates. He said it a couple of times. Maybe he can lower these rates, you know, just maybe. And I don't know. It just seemed really, you know, honestly, I don't know. I just felt like it was rude. I felt that it was rude. Maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like it was rude. By the way, Lorraine just confirmed it was 100% girl math. I stand vindicated. I do have those 5 tongs. They're glorious because I used both of them the other day when I was cooking. When I was doing a matriciana, because I had my guanciale, and then I had my noodle. I used 2 of them. I feel vindicated. I'm like, and I made a point to tell Chris, I'm like, look at this. Couldn't have done this without that sale price. Totally Jerome Powell'd him. Can we not call it girl math anymore? Can we call it Jerome Powell math?
Yeah, we should.
Feel like we should, ladies, because we're looking out for them sale prices. You know how I'm feeling about this. You know where we're at. You know where it's at. All the men are like, dear heavens, stop validating this.
Fed math.
Yeah. Oh, it's fed math now. Ladies, we don't say girl math. We don't say wife math. That's fed math now.
That's right.
It's official. Can you please mark that in the book of rule so that it's canonical for the show? Thank you. We need to make that. We'll send it to Pam at HR just to make sure that it fully gets into the scrolls. You guys don't know we have Dana Show scrolls. We do. We need to put it in the scroll book there.
Yep.
It's in the cave where the dwarves guard it. I mean, like Lord of the Rings dwarves. Send me hate mail. All right. So Friday, it's weird. One of the things we need to talk about, and I've been watching this with some interest, and I was watching this a little bit last night. We're going to talk more about it coming up. France stabbing the United States in the back. They just recognized a fictional place as a country. Right?
Right.
Hamas's quote unquote Palestine, which, again, is a country that never existed. It's an ethnicity that never existed. It was actually a name given by Hadrian to spite the Jews after the second Judean uprising. And he named him after one of their worst enemies at the time, except really they had left 200 years prior to that second Judean uprising. And they were a seafaring people from Crete, Philistina. So it's a play on that. But it was a spite name. It was a troll name. It's not something that is supported by thousands of years of antiquity, whether it's Islamic, Christian, or otherwise. Anyway, France has made a move to recognize them. Now the pressure is on the UK. Very interesting stuff. We're going to talk about this coming up. We're also going to get into some immigration issues. We got a lot. So, oh my gosh, we're already at what? We're already at, oh, stop it. It is the folks over at Super Beats. Super Barine, You guys are familiar, a little bit familiar with this product now from the same people who did these Super Beats Heart Chews. Your metabolism is linked to everything, your energy, your blood sugar, your heart health. You need to support it. Super Barine is a convenient way to get the daily metabolic support that you need. You can prioritize your health with daily metabolism and blood sugar support and do it by getting $5 off Super Barine at Sam's Club. It's from now until August 17th that you can get this deal. And if you're, you got questions about it, I mean, it's a doctor formulated Super Barine. It uses a very unique form of high absorption berberine. The unique berberine they used is clinically studied to deliver 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. This means fewer pills to swallow. But if you're concerned about GI distress, the olive fruit extract and other natural ingredients helps to remedy that and also support that heart and vascular health. So you can find both the new Super Barine and the number one best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews at Sam's Club. So support your metabolism and blood sugar for less with $5 off Super Barine at Sam's Club now through August 17th.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Pop quiz. It's freezing and your furnace just broke. What do you do first? Scramble to find help or worry about how much it's going to cost?
Neither. Since I have a low-cost home repair plan from HomeServe, I get 24/7 repair scheduling. And I get access to trusted local techs and no surprise repair bills on covered repairs up to my benefit amount.
Plans from HomeServe help save the hassle from dealing with home repair headaches. Be ready for plumbing, electrical, and HVAC problems when you plan ahead with HomeServe. Plans start at $5 a month. Enroll today and relax. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $3.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Don't kill me, affiliates. I went really long last segment, so we're short here. I'll make it up to you. E! News has been canceled 34 years as the very last air date has been revealed. What are people going to do? It's because everybody's getting it off social media. U.S. birth rate, we're going to talk about this, hits an all-time low according to CDC data. If we don't fix this, we're going to turn into Japan with a problem with our birth rate. U.S. drops to the lowest ranking yet on index of most powerful passports. BS. No, we're number one. You can now Venmo the government to help pay off national debt. Can you send them, fax them middle fingers? That would be great. Coming up, we're going to talk about France recognizing Hamas's state and so much more. Stick with us. Tons in store. Okay, I love this app. I downloaded this app. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little apprehensive at first because I'm really old school in my house. And when it comes to like investments and stuff and like our, any kind of stock market, that's like Chris's business. Chris controls the thermostat and he also controls this, right? And the lawn. So there's certain things I control. I downloaded this. It's so easy to use. And if you're unfamiliar with Alio Capital, and the app is available on the App Store, it's available the Apple Store, it's available Google Play, all of it. So it's a next generation investing platform. They put the control and macro strategy in your hands. So you can manage your own investments or you let AI do it. It's top down. AI does this beautifully with Alio. This is literally one of the things AI really was meant for. You can track your progress. There's no emotional meme stocks, anything like that. It's all disciplined, diversified strategies. If you're ready to take control of your financial future, download the Alio app from the App Store or Google Play. You can also text my name, Dana, to 511-511. That's Allio Capital. Download the Alio app or text Dana to 511-511 today.
Investing involves risks, include possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee results. See terms and conditions. Text fees may apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
NC Department of Adult Correction is hiring RNs and LPNs statewide. We offer the benefits you need, like flexible work schedules, excellent health insurance, and medical education loan repayment at select facilities. Make a difference in the lives of an underserved population. Visit dac.nc.gov/nurse to learn about what nursing and corrections is really like and see if it's the right fit for you. That's dac.nc.gov/nurse. Start your nursing career search with us today.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Tulsi Gabbard, you know, she may be impaired on the ethics front, certainly, but she's not impaired on the intellect front. And so I can only presume that she is doing this intentionally mischaracterizing, misrepresenting, and lying about what she has found.
Okay, so I'm not the biggest Gabbard fan, but I dislike John Brennan with the burning passion of a thousand suns because he's a redacted, lying, redacted. That's why. Happy Friday. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. That's right. It's Friday. It's hot. It's hot here. It makes your brain slow. So, like I said, I'm not her biggest fan. I've been critical of her. But to say she's a liar about this stuff, I'm sorry. Have a million seats. Y'all, we got some receipts up in here. We got receipts. I've gone over this all week in case anyone missed it. You had the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC that had to pay fines. You had a FISA judge that literally resigned before they got fired over this stuff. That doesn't happen if someone's lying. That doesn't happen if the information's false. It doesn't happen that way. Stop it. I get so aggravated with these people. It's correct. It's absolutely correct. And how many times has this guy perjured himself? You know they were spying on you, right? I hope the intel agencies really enjoyed all those crochet patterns I looked at, especially the ones that were in like Vietnamese and, you know, Mandarin. I was trying to replicate them. I had to watch these videos over and over again so I could watch the hand patterns. That's what you saw. Hope you're happy. Or when I was looking for sale prices, Kane, on them kitchen accoutrements. That's correct. It's correct. All of this stuff is correct. Here's another thing to look at. So France decided that they're going to recognize Hamas's Gazan state. I don't say the word Palestine because it's a fake word. Oh, people can get mad. If they send me hate mail, I'm going to slather it with pork and I'm just going to just fire some buckshot through it. So don't even try me. Actually, I'm in a great mood, as I told Kane. I feel real chill today. It's very unusual because I'm born for a storm. So when I get real chill, I don't know what to do. It gets real weird. But this though is frustrating. So they're the first G7 nation to do this. This is why this stands out. Emmanuel Macron has said that France is going to recognize, quote unquote, Palestinian statehood. And again, just a history reminder, it doesn't exist. Palestine is a fake thing. It's fake like assault weapons and Bigfoot. Actually, the Bigfoot might be more real than the Palestinian state. It's a fictional place. It's a fictional ethnicity. It's a fictional people. It's a fictional culture. It was a name that was given to the Jews in the area, to that area specifically by Hadrian out of spite. Again, Second Judean Uprising. After this happened, he's like, well, okay, all right, so we're just going to name it Philistina after some people who were your absolute arch enemy, although they left the area 200 years prior to this. But still, we're going to do that much of a throwback and name the area after that. They were seafaring people from Crete. So that's where the name came from. And again, not supported by thousands of years of either Islamic or Christian antiquity. So G7 now, France is done. I'm sorry, Paris is done. France, rural in the outskirts up in Normandy, that's still France. But Paris looks like an absolute fecal hole. It does. I've always wanted to go for the food and architecture. I love Rococo. I love the architecture of Haussmann, the guy who basically redesigned all of Paris. And that's why you have this like similarity, this uniformity with the rooftops. I get really into the architecture of it. That being said, there's no way in hell I'm going to go over there. Now you have 146 countries that have recognized it. Now, remember, this area, which I call Gaza, this statehood, the leading power is Hamas. They were democratically elected by a landslide. And what's more, there are not one, not two, but three separate surveys done by three separate entities. Yes, one of them is Hamas Media. Yes. But one of them was Agence France-Presse. The third one slips my memory for the moment. But they surveyed the people, not just in the Strip, but they also, they were looking at both territories, and the people overwhelmingly backed Hamas because you had Hamas and then you had Fatah. And Fatah, the big difference between them is Fatah said, okay, well, we'll go ahead and we'll recognize that Israel has a right to exist and Jewish people have a right to live and breathe on earth. Hamas was like, no, they gave a finger in the air and they said, not only do we not believe that, we're literally putting it in our charter. It's in their charter, like verbatim. I don't know why people argue this. I mean, there's a thing called the internet that people can look this stuff up on. The drive-bys are like, no, yeah, it actually does. So they, with these areas, they have been overwhelmingly supportive of Hamas for, gosh, how long? A long time, 20 years? Because when did they have the elections? They had first elections in, I think it was 05, and then they were going to have other elections again, but they paused them, and then Fatah was losing power. They started losing power. Hamas, like, exceeds them. They basically run absolutely everything at this point. And so it's wild to see them do this. It's wild to see them make this recognition. So you have these two territories, and now you're having this recognized by France, which is about as weak as you can get. And there's a lot of significance in them doing this. So Macron says that they're going, he said it in a statement on X. He posted it on X. And in his statement, he was saying that, you know, it was historic. They want lasting peace in the Middle East. So as a result, France is going to recognize the quote unquote state of Palestine. Hey, Kane, how many, all the hostages still in, they've been released yet out of Gaza?
Not all of them.
Crazy how they won't release those hostages, but then they bitch and moan about, you know, the reaction to them not releasing the hostages. Very, very wild. So the United States is not going to do that. They've had a breakdown in discussions for ongoing ceasefire and hostage release deals because Hamas is a U.S. designated terror group, but they're also democratically elected by the people and they control the strip. I'm going to tell you something. I've spoken to so many people, and not just members of the IDF, who have been over there and have said there's a reason why Hamas is widely supported. There's a lot of, I mean, they're arch enemies of just to Jews, J-O-O-S. And the support is organic. They have a martyrs fund, for crying out loud. So if you blow, you know, your kids go out and blow themselves up to kill Jews or target or attack Israel and they lose their lives, they have a martyrs fund. And those people get paid. By the way, some of our tax dollars from USAID were making up some of that award. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that came out. That's why there was aid money going to Gaza and we were questioning it. So Fatah is basically a sideline player, sideline player at this point. Hamas controls it and they got aid from Qatar. They have aid from Qatar for this. Qatar has to ingratiate itself with these nut jobs and they have to ingratiate themselves with Iran because they share a gas field out in the sea separating Qatar that juts out into the sea from Iran. So they host a lot of these. They host a lot of these Hamas leaders. I mean, they're Qatar's like right across the Gulf from Iran. And so in between that, between like Qatar and between Kish Island, there's this big gas field there that they share with Iran. So they have to have a partnership. You know, Iran obviously funds Hamas. They fund Hezbollah. So that's one of the reasons Qatar has this great relationship with Hamas, because they're friendly with Iran. So that all makes sense. By the way, this is why you have this instability in the region, because you have United Arab Emirates and Al Zayed, and then you have Mohammed bin Salman, who's in Saudi Arabia, and those two are very close. They also hate Islamism. They hate all this extremism, particularly UAE. They hate the extremism. You ought to see the changes that they've made, because they want to be more open to the West, because they want money, because they realize oil and gas may not last forever and they got to diversify. So they're very motivated. I told you, when you know people's currency, you can predict what they're going to do. So long story short, this is asinine for France to do something like this. And I think that there's some other motivations for them doing it. The least of which, well, not the least of which I should say, is that Paris is completely overtaken with Sharia supporters. And if you support Sharia, you are an Islamist. Sharia is like a newfangled thing in Islam. Many years ago, in fact, right when I started getting into activism, it was my first, I got invited to this big dinner in DC. It wasn't like a formal dinner. It was kind of like a social thing. And I went at the time with my mentor and my boss, Andrew Breitbart, because I was the editor of Big Journalism, the standalone silo before it all morphed together. And I was introduced to this very intelligent, very fast-speaking woman named Nani Darwish. And Nani Darwish is an apostate. She had left Egypt. She was Muslim. She left her faith, and they had put a fatwa on her. They wanted to kill her. Rolled six deep with security. I sat next to her at this dinner, and I was unfamiliar. I knew that she was an activist, but I was unfamiliar with the threats that were against her until I said something to Andrew, because it was Andrew, and then it was me. I was sitting across the table from my husband, and then Nani Darwish was on my right, Andrew was on my left, and I remember asking him, I'm like, well, why is it that she's got all these security? And he's like, oh my gosh. And Geert Wilders was there, and he was like, oh my gosh, she's got death threats on her because she's an apostate and she speaks out against Sharia in Iran and all this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. So long story short, it used to not always be that way. Sharia is a new implementation. It is that's actually the modernity that's infecting a lot of it. Now, I'm not making excuses for past terrorism. I'm just saying the idea of basically putting women in potato sacks and beating them in the streets if they get raped, you know, that's kind of a newfangled thing. But those two entities hate it. So the idea that France is elevating this is asinine. What do they get out of it aside from virtue signaling? Macron said he had some unnamed commitments from Mahmoud Abbas, who's the president of Gaza. I don't say Palestine because it's a fake thing. And so France is going to be hosting this conference where they're going to talk about achieving a two-state solution. Now, Saudi Arabia is involved. Saudi Arabia, it's wild because they're even hesitant to recognize things to the extent to which France has, because by recognizing this, you're elevating a proxy group for Iran. And Iran and Saudi Arabia are like mortal enemies in the Middle East. They won't really go out and say it because there's some unspoken rules in the custom that you don't criticize leadership and royalty over there. However, it's pretty well known. So this is all very odd that they would be doing this and elevating this. But at no point has Emmanuel Macron gone, oh, well, have you released the hostages yet? You know, all of this could be done if you just released hostages. I don't want to hear about blockades. I don't want to hear about any of this stuff. They started it. They refused to cooperate. They killed babies. They killed babies. Shut up with, all of this other stuff. They killed babies. I'm so tired of these cuck simps for Hamas. Honestly, some of these people, I get, oh, man, it's taking me. I got to mind my P's and Q's here. I see people out there standing for them, and I'm like, you're such a cuck. It's an accurate term, I think, in that context. Cain's dying every time I say it. Yeah. What else would you rather me say? I'd get fined. We get fined. We get in trouble.
Beta? I mean, anything, but...
No. It's not harsh enough.
True.
Cain words are paintbrushes. That paintbrush doesn't do justice to the issue.
I'd have to agree.
Now, they're also pressing on the UK to recognize Hamas's state. They're putting a lot of pressure on Keir Starmer. It didn't help that you had King Charles getting out there talking about the Muslim community with regards to Gaza, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about this coming up. These are some things to watch here. You might think it's meaningless, but there are some moves being made. And I think that this is also kind of an offense by Iran as well. So we're going to talk about some of this. We also have some cultural issues to get into as well. Immigration. And some stuff to watch in D.C. that's pretty sketchy. So we got a lot to hit as we move. The partners that will bring you the program. Partners over at Burn a Gun. I'm always going to tell people to carry. And I'm always going to tell you to train and be ready for anything. And I have zero problem myself in using lethal force to protect myself or a loved one. But here's the thing. There are so many different private property restrictions, municipal restrictions, to say nothing of laws about, you know, you can be old enough to go to college and live on your own in another town, but not old enough to carry, you know, a handgun for self-protection. So here's where the Bernagun comes in. Bernagun shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. There's no recoil, easy target acquisition. And unlike stun guns, the Berna actually has 5 rounds, right? And stun guns usually have like maybe 1 or 2. There's several different types of Berna guns. I mean, they make rifles, but I think for this, obviously, this purpose, the Berna SD, which is their most popular model, or the new Berna CL, which is 38% smaller and easier to conceal, I think, as a female, as a smaller stature female, than the SD. But I think you need to consider both of them. You got the legal flexibility. There's no background checks. There's no permits. It does not care about gun-free zone signs at all whatsoever. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't have to have a license, nothing. It's accessible for everybody. Can literally ship it right to your front porch. You need to check it out. It's good to have a diverse weapons array. You want to be ready for every situation. And this is just part of that, for the same reason you have pistols and rifles, different calibers and blades. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and check out the new Byrna CL. It's BYRNA, Byrna.com/Dana.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's #529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Palestinian people, this is all for you.
Someone said, hey, it's Meg White. I will say that she actually had really good timing. I think people...
Really?
She had good timing, but she wasn't, like, trained to be flashy.
When you do that, when you, like, bang things together like pots and pans...
That's Rashida Tlaib, by the way.
Are you doing that for someone?
Did she steal that from the Capitol kitchen?
She stole
that metal. That's like a condiment thing from a line. Yeah. So she stole that from a kitchen.
She took it outside. I don't know if that's legal.
Also, why is she speeding the beat up? I'm so tired of people. Look, please, dear heavens. I need them to not be bad at making rhythm. Go ahead.
Palestinian people, this is all for you.
That's for somebody. Like, if I'm doing something for someone, it's not going to be that. Like, that. What? How is that for somebody?
How are you for anything?
I'm really kind of. Why? Like, what does that do for? Is that like a magical condiment line dish that, you know, you if you bang on it, something happens? That's what she's gonna do. Oh, she's gonna bang on that for people. Good grief.
What does it do?
So you really didn't like the Meg White joke? You don't think that she's a good drummer? I mean Jack White didn't even have a bass player. Keep that in mind. He put himself in a box. That's why he gave him, so she was a parameter just so he could test his creativity. I think he's a jack wagon politically, but he's inventive musically. Anyway, I just What is she calling goats? Like, what is she doing? I don't understand that. Like, you know, pigs. What is it? Suey. I don't know. It's weird. Like, why do they do that? Why is the left like, let's do the stupidest thing we can do for a protest? And that's what they do. Meanwhile, Republicans are like, maybe we should put forth policy. And Democrats are like, we're going to go bang things out on the steps of the Capitol. Second hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. Taking charge of your health is easier with All Family Pharmacy. If you've been hearing about the latest in brain and cellular health, you're not alone. Methylene Blue is making waves for supporting focus, mental clarity, memory, and mood. RFK Jr. has been talking about using it. And NAD Plus, that's your body's natural energy booster. It helps cells repair and potentially slows signs of aging. With All Family Pharmacy, you now have access to these cutting-edge treatments. Whether you're interested in Methylene Blue, NAD Plus, or even an emergency kit for your family, this is a pharmacy that you can trust. No corporate gatekeepers, no big pharma middlemen, and no bureaucratic roadblocks. All Family Pharmacy uses 100% domestically sourced materials for all their medications, ensuring top quality and safety. So go ahead and visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off your order. And while you're there, check out their full list, over 200 medications available, including ivermectin, antibiotics, and more. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana10.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
You on presidential immunity would apply to former President Barack Obama and what you're accusing him of doing.
It probably helps him a lot. Probably helps him a lot, the immunity ruling. But it doesn't help the people around him at all. But it probably helps him a lot. Well, he's done criminal acts, there's no question about it. But he has immunity, and it probably helped him a lot. He owes me big. Obama owes me big.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, he does. He has that presidential immunity. That's the ultimately that you can't undo that for Obama and not have the same thing apply to Trump. So therein lies the rub. Nothing's ever going to happen to Barack Obama because of that immunity ruling. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this second hour on a Friday. And that he was speaking, that was right after he's going to Scotland. And that was he's had a busy couple of days because he was at the Fed. Lorraine reminded me that the original budget for the Fed in Reno was $1.9 billion. They went over, but this is like Gavin Newsom level bad. They went over budget and got approved for $2.5 billion for their renovation projects. The Fed's renovation. Remember, it was I don't know how you go over budget that much. I mean, when we redo stuff, we did a couple of things in our house and we were, man, like riding the budget like mad. I ride the budget like crazy. And we were looking at different materials and all of this stuff. And how do you go from, 1.5 to 2.5 billion? 1.5 billion, which is enough already, to 2.5. Now the whole thing is over $3 billion. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely insane.
And they bragged about having a reserve. Like they could go over more if they wanted to. Like what was that about?
Yeah, no, thank you. How is it that they get to do that? But when I'm looking at studio expansion and the cost associated with that, You guys don't even want to know. Like, especially with inflation. Right now, everything's kind of holding and we're watching. Of course, it doesn't help that taxation is theft and the government likes to take half of everything that you own, despite the fact that they don't do anything. We went to war for less than that. But you, that's insane. Can you imagine if we did that and then try to skirt the IRS on it? But hey, it's the Fed. Homie's got to go. All right. They got to rock. He's got to go. And it was awkward. And regardless of what your feelings are on Trump, and I shouldn't even have to say this, he's right in this scenario, guys. He's right in that scenario. By the way, I watched that South Park episode. You haven't seen it yet, Kane, have you?
No.
Why did POTUS respond to it?
I don't know.
Well, I shouldn't say POTUS responded to it. Yeah, they, yes, I shouldn't say POTUS did. Technically, it was the White House that did. And I'm like, why is it? Just ignore it. Because they, I watch this, and they intentionally, now, keep in mind, for the people who are mad at South Park, they have trolled everybody for forever. It doesn't matter. They are the original poo posters. I can't say what that's really called on social media. The fecal posters, but it starts with a shush your mouth.
Okay.
They are the original ones. They did everything possible to try to get a response out of him. So I don't even think the White House doesn't even need to respond. That's goofy. Nobody needs to respond to this. There's literally no reason. Because this is what they do. It's South Park, for crying out loud. It's South Park. But what did he say? He said that they hadn't been, the White House, a Variety reported that they said this show hasn't been relevant for over 20 years and can't derail Trump's hot streak. That's a dumb response. The best thing they could have done is not respond. They're not relevant, but they got a $1 billion deal from Paramount for 5 years and 10 new episodes. No. They're incredibly relevant. It's the second longest running show in our history, I think, next to Simpsons. They're very relevant. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. They go, just like the creators of South Park, the left has no authentic original content, blah, blah. Matt Stone and Trey Parker are not on the left. I think a lot of people think that they are because they'll joke at Republicans and conservatives' expenses, but they also joke at progressives' expenses. I mean, they trolled the left pretty also hard in that episode. I mean, they made fun of the left freaking out over stuff. But people who are too stupid and don't understand that miss the point. I'm like, good gosh, are we in an idiocracy right now? Is Brando already on the shelves?
What plants crave?
There were certain parts in that episode I watched. I was like, oh my gosh, they just skinned the left alive. And then they went after the right too. Every episode's always been like that. They're not leftists. They just hate everybody. They're more libertarian and more centrist, but they are not far left and they're not woke. And they made fun of wokery and they made fun of all this stuff. And Cartman was the big woke guy. Cartman is always the avatar for everything that the left does, right? Like, hey, they were making fun of NPR and they're like, the president cut funding for NPR. And Cartman's line was, because one of the kids goes, well, what's NPR? And he goes, oh my gosh, it's where all the gays and Jews go to complain about everything. That was his line, because he's like the big leftist nut job on the show. That's like that's the role that he was filling in that episode. So it's funny. So I don't know. It is what it is. It was purposefully over the top for a reason. They just don't even need to say anything about it. But like I, you know, said yesterday, and I know that this was on social media and I'm not going to go relitigate it. The whole point was, and I think people on the right are missing, some on the right are missing this entirely. Their point wasn't to criticize Trump. They went over the top for a reason, but not for Trump's sake. They didn't go over the top for Trump's sake. Although I think him commenting, they were baiting him because that's part of the performance. South Park doesn't end just when the credits roll. People who are unfamiliar with that show don't realize this. The show continues in the real world. The show didn't conclude until they were able to make the point that the left and Colbert were morons for claiming that they were canceled for censorship. Because what South Park set out to do was to try to be more ridiculous than Colbert. to prove the point that he just sucks. That's the reality of it. So I need people to not get lost. Don't lose the nuance in this. And also, there's certain things that are just funny. And there's certain things that you're like, I can't believe they just did that on there. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that they just did. It's not for everybody. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be for anybody. So, yeah, and they had AI on it. Although the AI looked, you know, like the like they made him a Canadian and made him say a boot and gave him a Canadian head just because. But they don't need. Now, South Park responded to some of the backlash. I think they said, oh, we are very, 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 very sorry, which they're not. They said, we're terribly sorry. They're not. You know that that means.
Where should they be?
Yeah, that's not them. These are the people that didn't they get canned from Comedy Central because they went after Muhammad after Charlie Hebdo? Or they got punished severely for it. They were going to run. A lot of people forget this. South Park, this was after Charlie Hebdo was targeted by Islamists for drawing Muhammad. And South Park did a whole episode where they drew Muhammad. You thought this South Park episode was over the top? Y'all ain't seen nothing. Apparently these people did not watch that episode. They had to blur it out. Comedy Central made them. They would not let them air it. South Park, they forcibly like censored it. Remember that? They literally put a black bar and fuzzed out all this stuff. It was wild. And South Park wrote it into the whole series or wrote it into that episode that they made it a part of the joke that they were being censored by Comedy Central. So just so you know, this is like par for the course here. But they've been, and that's when, and then Islamists were threatening to kill them, and they were like, meh. That was crazy. Do you remember that whole time? That was wild. Yeah, no one talks about that. They're like, Trump can't say, okay, try Muhammad. See how that goes well for you. See, the difference is Republicans aren't going off cutting off people's heads. Right? Why don't they ever realize that and stop and realize that? These people. They're fake victims. They're such fake victims. So one of the things that we were discussing, and I wanted to play this audio. This is audio soundbite 12 on the situation with Hamas. Listen to what POTUS said here. He's on his way to Scotland. Listen to what POTUS said here.
Yeah, Gaza, they pulled out of Gaza. They pulled out in terms of negotiating. It was too bad. Hamas didn't really want to make a deal. I think they want to die, and it's very, very bad.
Are you done?
And it got to be to a point where you're gonna have to finish the job. They really they asked the thing. Don't forget, we got a lot of hostages out. So now we're down to the final hostages, and they know what happens after you get the final hostages. And basically, because of that, they really didn't want to make a deal. I saw that. So they pulled out and. They're going to have to fight, and they're going to have to clean it up. You're going to have to get rid of it.
He's not wrong. And then now you have Macron is recognizing Gaza's state officially. So the UN General Assembly is in September, and apparently that's when Macron's going to give a speech and recognize that. And Hamas welcomed his statement. They said, we see it as a positive step in the right direction towards achieving justice for the, again, this is a fake word, Palestinian people and supporting their legitimate right to self-determination and establishment of their independent state with Jerusalem as their capital, blah, 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 blah. Occupied lands. They're not occupied. That was never their land to begin with. They were given a strip of land as welfare, and they decided to defecate all over it. That's what it is. It's not their land. It was never their land. It was given to them. And I'm going to tell you what, ask Egypt why they don't want them. Ask Jordan why they don't want them. Ask Lebanon why they're having so many problems with them right now. Nobody wants them because they're problem children. You have a people that elected a terrorist government, literally, legitimately terrorists. They raised their children generationally thinking that some people literally don't have the right to exist simply because of how they're born and who they are. Where's the tolerant crowd on the left? Oh, they're advocating for this stuff. So asinine. We have a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. It is our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Generation 3 Sub-2K, Florida-based company over at Kel-Tec. You guys have heard about the Gen 3 Sub-2K. They came out with it earlier this year. It comes in a variety of calibers, but now also 10 millimeter as well. And with Kel-Tec, this thing can fold in half. Optics stay in place. It deploys just as quickly, zeroed and ready. And it's all about that that rotating forend. And, you know, like I said, deploys with the optics on. It folds up with the optics on, 16 and a half inches for easy storage and transport. It takes Glock mags. It also has an internal buffer for softer recoil, lighter 5-pound trigger pull for greater accuracy, integrated M-lock, and rails for accessories. It's, I mean, you can use it for anything, home defense, backpacking, camping, law enforcement, church security, whatever it is that you need. And it's made in Florida. You can learn more about the Generation 3 Sub 2K at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, this is sad. My friend Jeff Donitz, who was the proprietor of Yid with Lid and then did Lid Blog later, passed away age 67. Known him for a while. He was like kind of like the uncle of the one of the uncles of the movement in the early aughts, like right when the conservative activism online really kicked into gear. He'd worked in advertising and marketing, publication marketing, but he passed away at age 67. He had some health struggles, but he would always say, "You're a mensch." He's such a nice guy. So our condolences to his family and prayers to them. I'm sure that he had a wonderful wife and two kids, and we're praying for them. Also, moving to this. Apparently, a scientist believes that bread makes us sad. I like some bread. And I'm so tired of these headlines. It says, if you're feeling depressed, avoid gluten. If you're feeling this, to avoid gluten. I've told you guys that one of my doctors was saying that, because I see nutritionists and all of this, I like to run like optimal. And they were saying, well, we think that you're gluten intolerant. That's what we're thinking. And because I had these like different issues. And I'm like, I think it's actually chemical intolerant. Because when I travel overseas and I eat food that they don't allow that stuff in their flour and all of that, I don't have the same issues. And so I started getting flour, actually importing flour from Italy to make our stuff. I don't have any of the issues that I used to have eating all that stuff. It's the chemicals that people are reacting to. It's not bread. People ate bread for centuries. Now all of a sudden we're like, I can't eat bread anymore. It's because we put all this stuff in it is why. So it's worth it to spend a little more to get the flour that, well, if you're not grinding your own wheat, to get the flour that does not have all the stuff in it. It makes a world of difference. Scientists discover a sixth sense in the gut that controls how much we eat. Yes, it's not in the gut. It's actually in your brain. It's chemicals that react, and they tell you that, okay, you've had enough, but it's called a neurobiotic sense in the colon, and the body detects bacteria signals that control appetite in real time, and they respond to a microbial protein called flagellin. Have you heard of that one? Yeah. You hadn't heard of that. I thought you would have like known all about this and like co-signed this study.
They said flagellants.
Flagellin, F-L-A-G-E-L-L-I-N. It triggers the release of the hormone PYY, which activates the vagus nerve. That sounds weird. I feel like we're talking about that made-up thing called the donglefish that's online.
Vagus nerve's real.
Kind of feels like that a little bit, just, you know. Let's see. Food, not lack of exercise, fuels obesity, according to a study. I'm going to tell you guys something. We work out not like we used to. I used to work out 6 days a week, and I kicked box 4 days a week. And diet is 98% of it. Not kidding. I do intermittent fasting religiously. That is a game changer. So this study, I completely get behind it. It is diet, 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 diet. We got a lot more on the way, including influencer culture. Stick with us. It's the folks over at Relief Factor. Now see, this is another non-big pharma way to manage aches and pains naturally. It's a drug-free supplement, and it's packed with all kinds of good stuff that target inflammation and support joint health. Things like turmeric and all of these things that fight your aches and pains. Omega-3 fatty acids, resveratrol. My husband takes it, helps him when he works out from old sports injuries. 100% drug-free, developed to support your body's natural healing process. It's a powerhouse against inflammation. So it's something you absolutely should check out, especially if you don't want to have to. A lot of people just want to be able to manage, you know, just the basic, you know, aches and pains without having to go on big pharma stuff. Don't stay stuck living with pain. Try Relief Factor's 3-week quick start for just $19.95. It's less than a dollar a day, and you can support a veteran-owned company and see the difference for yourself. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. Sit in the hip like. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Sense that election in New York City is a sign of the Democratic Party move in a particular direction just ignores the facts. We are a big tent party, and we want everyone to be in that party. And, you know, that includes Zoran Mamdani. That includes other folks on all sides of the ideological spectrum.
So that's the DNC chair. And he's like, yeah, it's a big tent party. You know, our big tent includes hating the Jews and stuff. That's what he's mean. Okay. Welcome back. First off, Dana Lash with you. Greetings, salutations, bottom of the second hour. How is that different? Now, Trump did not say this in the manner that the press said he did, because he was condemning, you know, the bad actors and the Charlotte thing. How is that not like, oh, there's good people on both sides thing? How is that any different? What if Trump came out and said, you know what? I mean, that's just the way it is. It's a big tent party. Oh, my gosh. The left is coming out saying, well, it's a big tent party, you know. We're talking about a guy who said globalize the infantata. Lunchbox, that's what we're talking about. This is not like someone who goes, well, I think we should be taxed at a 5% rate higher than your position. That would be like a big tent issue, right? A big tent issue would be arguments over zoning, arguments over taxation. You know, what is the right, you know, there's a number of, then not this, not a globalize the infantata thing. Oh my gosh, just, I'm going to need some menu. This, I will never forget how many headlines we saw over that Charlotte thing where Trump was like, oh, you know, both sides, you know, there's good people on both sides. That's not what he was saying. He was talking about the people who weren't the like bigots, that were going back and forth. He didn't say that he endorsed bigot. He didn't do any of that, but the media made it up. We played that audio soundbite live. Live. And then we played it over and over again to talk about the issue because the press wouldn't let it go. What if Trump had gone out instead and said, well, you know, it's a big tent party. So they're claiming ownership of this by saying that it's a big tent party. That's what this guy, that's what Martin doesn't, the DNC chair doesn't get. By saying this, what you're saying is, well, we claim these people as our party. That's what he's saying. That it's a big tent party that includes the people who think about, you know, who support globalizing the infantata. What? But that's what he's saying. What are you typing? Say it.
I think it's pronounced the intifada. I think you're saying it.
Did I say it correctly?
I think you're saying infantata.
Oh, I did. Intifada, yes. Intifada. Because I'm running everything together and it's Friday. The intifada, yes. Although infantata, that actually works well too. That I mean, because they're a bunch of, you know, idiot babies.
They are.
The issue with this is the ownership of it. When you can't go out and say globalize the intifada and you and then act like that's a big tent thing. It's not. It's what that means is you're talking about globalizing terrorism, globalizing the eradication of a particular people because of who they are. Just like when you talk about going from the river to the sea, it's the River Jordan all the way to the Mediterranean. What lies between there geographically? Okay, yeah, Israel. That's right. So that's what they're talking about. They all say the same thing. These are all the same chants. Whether it's globalized intifada, whether it's I almost said fiver. See, I can't. It's Friday. From the river to the sea, all of these things are they're terrorist chants. And instead of saying we don't have room for that in our tent, they're saying, well, no, we have a big tent. He's claiming ownership of this. So here's my other follow-up question. Why, dear heavens, has the GOP not made this? And I hope they're going to make this into a campaign ad. That's a campaign ad. That is million-dollar audio, we would call it, right there. To have the DNC chair say, when asked, well, the globalized the intifada and from the river to the sea. How do you disown? Do you condemn these sayings? And they go, well, it's a big tent. We want everybody in the Democrat Party. He's taking ownership of that. So where's the ad? Maybe they could come in with Rashida Tlaib banging the pot. And then cut and then have Martin saying this and then go back to her banging the pot. There, I just did the ad. Right there. The ad's done, Kane. That's it. It's done. There you go.
Bring on 2026.
Oh, heaven help us. They're struggling with fundraising for a reason. I had that headline for you yesterday. That's like the worst Salvation Army bucket kettle ringer I've ever seen. Right? Worst ever. Worst ever. So, wait a minute. There's a few other things that we're going to... Can we talk about this influencer culture, please? I'm going to switch gears here. I don't like the influencer stuff. I get it that people do it, and I don't, you know... Is there some of it that I look at? Not really. There's certain things that I will look at, like if I'm bored. I don't really doom scroll, I think, as much as the average bear. There's just... Because so much of it is just derivative of everything else. Like if you look at a lot of the influencer stuff, everybody's selling the same stuff, right? Have you noticed this? Like everybody's selling the same things. You see it over and over again, especially the Amazon storefronts. My gosh, everybody has the same stuff. You have interior influencers, fashion influencers, and apparently like food or lifestyle influencers. And so there was this. Okay, I'm just going to read you the first sentence, and we're going to have to talk about this after that. A TikTok micro-influencer got a top San Francisco chef fired after saying she was left in tears by the restaurateur's refusal to give her free food because she wasn't famous. Full stop. Steve, you had asked a great question on break about a particular phrase that was just in that sentence. What did you ask, dear sir?
What makes someone a micro-influencer? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. She has 15,000 followers online, and she calls herself a micro-influencer. Micro-influencer, everyone's a micro-influencer. Her using that in this context means she isn't actually famous and she only has 15,000 followers. So she said she was literally shaking. I'm not making that up. She said that. She was invited to a collaboration with at a Bay Area wine bar called Kiss Cafe, K-I-S. And she was expected where she was expected. She means she expected this. She thought she was going to get a free meal for her and her husband in exchange for a promotion video on her channel. But then she said, after she got to the restaurant, the chef, Luke Sung, asked, why was she invited? How big is this place? Is it a small establishment, Kane? Will you find that out real quick?
I will.
Because I got a question about that, if that's true. So she says that she was invited, and then when she got there, the chef was like, why are you here? So in response, her name is It's Car Lab, L-A-B-B, on whatever. She says that she was an advocate for micro-influencers. Okay, full stop. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You have 15,000 followers. You're not an advocate for anybody. You have no reach. I hate the word influencer. That's stupid. You're a marketer. That's all you are. You are a marketer. You're like QVC online. Stop. That's what it is. It's QVC online. But they act like it's like glorified because it's on social media. She goes, you don't need to have a million followers to be respected or feel like you're making a difference. Actually, you do. In this industry, in this, you know, QVC online industry, you do actually need to have a lot of followers in order to make a difference. You're not moving inventory with 15,000 followers compared to somebody who's got over a million. Now, she didn't name Sung or Kiss Cafe in her video, but she made it kind of obvious where she was. She said the confrontation made her leave in tears. And then she tried to drag her audience in it by suggesting that her modest following meant that her fans likely could not afford to eat there anyway. She said his behavior was Kiss Cafe then fired him. They said on Instagram that his behavior was unacceptable and he was no longer part of the team as a co-owner or a chef in any way. Kudos to this chef, by the way. He's the real MVP. She sounds like a grifting brat who, she's a welfare artist. She goes in and she demanded a free meal. I'll tell my 15,000 followers on social media. Do you know how many people do this to restaurants? I was at a restaurant one time. Yeah, it looks like a very small place. So now you can see why she was. It was questioned why she was there. Look how many chairs they have. Think about the turnover. You have to make X amount of sales. I mean, in order to make a profit. So yeah, smaller restaurants, they do very zealously guard those reservations and guard those tables. I get it. I worked in food service, like in high school all through college. So I completely get it. So they. I can't believe that they responded to this. That is so insane. That's insane. It's just crazy that the restaurant actually responded to this. But she said that she was disrespected. You weren't disrespected. You met reality and you didn't like it and it hurt your feelings. That's not the same thing as being disrespected. You have like 15,000 followers. She was trying to find a way to milk this, be a victim so she could get more followers. I wouldn't want to read anyone's opinion or read about anybody's lifestyle that gets their feelings hurt so easily because the chef was correct. And this restaurant is a pansy. And I don't want to eat at this restaurant now because they're idiots. This chef is absolutely correct. And of course, she got a ton of followers overnight because she made herself a victim. She played into this class warfare establishment, and that's how it did. She's still a micro-influencer. Sorry. I've never gone anywhere and expected a free meal, ever. I have never, ever in my life I find it so distasteful. I have friends that joke with me, and they're like, why don't you do this? I'm like, because it makes me gag. And Kane knows this. You know this all too well. It is so gauche to me to do that. There's no way. And this is one of the reasons, too, like on social media. And again, Kane can attest to this. I have people who think I'm nuts because on Instagram, I have like a 500,000 followers and I don't really do anything with it. I had a candle company and they were really nice. And I actually used their, I actually bought their stuff. They're based in Louisiana. It's called Orleans Candles. And they were like, hey, we noticed that you said something nice about us. Can we send you some, you know, some free stuff? And I'm like, on one condition. I know you expect me to talk about you. And if you expect me to say anything about it, I want a discount for all of the people that follow this account so that if they choose to order it, they can get a discount. So it was a 20% off discount. And I had to explain to people in the comments, I'm like, this is not an ad. I'm not getting paid for this. I was like, if you're expecting me to do something for you, what am I going to get out of it for the people that follow my account? So I got everybody a 20% discount. And people in the comments were like, I hope this isn't going to be an influencer account. I'm like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. It doesn't matter, right? So I haven't done it again. But there are tons of people that reach out all the time and entities that are like, hey, can we do a partnership? And can we do this product? And would you like to, you know, do you want to, it's Wic. Wic is back. Wick's at the door. Hold up. He interrupted me. What are you doing? What are you doing? Not for puppies. It's not for puppies. He's literally in the, it's, this is, Wic, it's not for puppies. I see you.
Where's Wic?
He has no idea what's happening. He's like, this is a very bright room. Hi. It's not for puppies, though. I know, you're such a good boy. It's not for puppies. Yeah, sorry, Wicky Woo. It's okay. You can, it's live radio. It's Friday. Half the people are by the pool drunk. It's okay. But my point is that, like, this chick was like, I love spotlighting small businesses. No, you don't. You like spotlighting yourself and getting fame and for yourself. You're a welfare recipient. You're no different than somebody else who's demanding, like, you know, you're wanting food stamps and you're demanding free stuff at Walmart. You're, like, no different. You just try to glorify it by putting it on social media. I just find it so incredibly distasteful. It's distasteful because this is not, I mean, micro influencers, there's no such thing. You are either someone who is a marketer and you understand like leveraging social attention to highlight like really good service, which that's not what she's doing. But long story short, we get like this stuff all the time and I just find it. Do you guys find it distasteful? I'm curious. Like, I'm curious what the chat thinks because we get stuff like this all the time for social media and I say no. It's actually kind of hurt us advertising wise because I've never included it as part of any kind of like advertising for radio or anything. And we have like our social, Radio America has some social media people and they're like, oh my gosh, Dana, what are you doing? I'm like, I feel like that everybody would find it distasteful, right? Wick is like, I definitely do, unless it has to do with dog treats. And then, no, I don't. He is so he's learned how to open gates with his, I almost said hands, his paws. He just opens them. You can't cage his dog. You can't contain him. Not that we cage him. We have a lot more on the way as we roll. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's the folks over at Angel Studios. We always complain about Hollywood, but how many people actually do something about it? That's the thing. Like, how many people, beyond canceling like a Netflix subscription, actually do something about shaping what Hollywood does? A lot of people think that they don't have the power to do that. That's incorrect. Angel Studios is doing it, and you can join that fight. Angel Studios is putting out the content that people really want to see, stuff that celebrates American exceptionalism and our values and doesn't beat on America for like 120 minutes straight. They're creating experiences beyond just making movies. They bring families together. They've got so many different titles. They have animated offerings. They've got dramas. Whatever you can think of, they have it. And it's all unapologetically American as well. It's uplifting. You're not going to feel so depressed like you want to go jump off your roof and break your legs to nubbins after you go and watch it. It's actually uplifting. And it's like, you know, feel good. Like back what the movies used to be like. You can join and help them by becoming a premium member of the Angel Studios Guild. You can become a premium member, you get free tickets to every theatrical release and so much more. Just visit angel.com/Dana and join over 1 million Americans taking back control of their entertainment. Join the Angel Guild, help fund the future of storytelling that reflects your values. You get to help greenlight stuff and you get those free theater tickets, ad-free streaming, and so much more. Become a premium member today at angel.com/Dana.
The Culture and Christianity Podcast with Pastor Alan Jackson.
The devil wants to isolate us all.
Yes.
And you don't leave them on that island of being victimized. And that, I really enjoyed that. I think you help people find their way to the place of grace. Jesus is a redeemer. And you are pictures of redemption. And I think that is so important.
Hear the full story on culture and Christianity with Pastor Alan Jackson. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
The cow gets me every time. So, man alive. Oh my gosh, this is an elderly person. Kane.
What?
I know you hate old people, so that's try to contain your rage. So, oh, this is the video that's auto-playing because, of course. St. Petersburg police say Victor Love attacked a longtime acquaintance after riding his bike to the victim's home Thursday. He punched through a bedroom window, stabbed the guy, then beat him with a crowbar.
Lord.
Per police. He's 63 years old. 63-year-old riding his bike to a victim's house, punching through a window, stabbing the dude, and then beating him with a crowbar. His name is Victor Love. Looks like, I think he's wearing a big old chain. Yeah, he looks like problems. He faces an attempted first-degree murder charge. My goodness. And then a Florida man was charged selling a fake gold bar at a Missouri pawn shop. You cannot get anything over these pawn shop owners, man. Why do you think you're doing that? He's charged with stealing $750 or more because they accused him of selling a fake gold bar. We got a lot more on the way. Third hour next. Stick with us this Friday.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. And we are at the top of this third hour this Friday. Welcome. So I've got to tell you, I saw this. It's a new piece from New York Times. I mean, I'm trying to be very, you know, New Testament about Schadenfreude here, so it's a big struggle. Under siege from Trump and Musk, a top liberal group falls into crisis, reads the headline. Now, who could this liberal group be? Let's read further. Scrambling to pay legal fees, Media Matters has dialed back its criticism, trimmed its staff, and contemplated closing entirely. Interesting. It gets into how Media Matters is struggling to withstand because, you know, Musk went after them because they're nonsense. Trump has gone after them. They've racked up $15 million in legal fees in the past 2 years to defend themselves. And now they've got a number of investigations as well. And they deserve it. They have seen their cash flow stop because their donors are skittish, according to documents. They tried to settle with Musk, but Musk wasn't having it. God love him. And publicly, they said they have no plans to close. I've been hearing some stuff about this, so it's interesting to see this confirmed in the New York Times. This sentence, though, is nonsense. Quote, Media Matters stands as an example of how legal warfare waged by powerful ideological opponents can squelch influential voices and stifle political dissent. No. That's not what this is. Let me just give you some insight. And I think we've talked a little bit about this before. Media Matters, just to use myself as an example because I'm me, targeted me every step of my career since 2008. Since 2008, they have targeted me every step of my career. They even assigned, his name was Joe Strupp, S-T-R-U-P-P, and he admitted this to me. They even assigned me a beat reporter who went to all of my events, watched, listened to every one of my shows, followed all of my social media posts, was in the front row of all my events. I found myself at a talkers event in New York City one day speaking, and right in the front row was Joe. And we ended up having a cordial relationship, even though he worked for Media Matters. And Media Matters, as you know, wrote hit pieces on conservative media entities. They are an activist organization funded by a number of leftists, most notably the Tides Foundation, which was founded by George Soros. And he gets money from other rich people. They all pull their money together and then they fund it. It was founded by David Brock, who used to be on the right. Back during the Clinton days when Clinton was in the White House, and he wrote a book on Clinton that was very caustic, and apparently it didn't get the attention that he thought it should have within the right circles. And so in a fit of rage, he decided to switch to the left, and that's where he's been ever since. And they have harassed, smeared, libeled, and slandered numerous conservatives. I wasn't the only conservative that had my own reporter. Every conservative media person had their own beat reporter. They were treated individually as beats. And that was admitted to me freely by Joe. So he followed me to CPAC, followed me to talkers, followed me to everything. Every event, rallies, he'd be there everywhere. Isn't that insane? Waiting for you to mess up, say one wrong thing, get one word wrong. Take anything out of context. Case in point. I joked one day, it was on X, and it was when Barack Obama was giving a State of the Union address. And this was when they made this huge push for green energy. Do you remember this? They were like, well, you're going to have now the Department of Defense. It's going to be really looking at green energy solutions, et cetera, et cetera. And then they said, and then NASA is going to really incorporate more about Muslim outreach. And I made a comment like, these are institutions that have particular names that describe what they do, and now you're assigning them tasks that have nothing to do with the thing for which they are named. And I'm like, that's like saying you're going to create a Department of Muslim Outreach and make that about space. And then literally, like the next morning, Media Matters headline, and this is when I was a token conservative at CNN, and they were trying to get me fired from CNN. They worked really hard to try to get me fired. They had CNN's Dana Loesch, and then like, they acted like I said it in a quote, let's shoot Muslims into space. I had the VP of Standards and Practices that demanded that they, because he woke up in the morning and he took a deuce and read Media Matters. That's how he started his day. And people were demanding that I apologize. And I'm like, apologize for what? I'm not apologizing for a damned thing. And as a result, They wouldn't take it off. They wouldn't do that. It ended up going away. I saved it. And it was my desktop screensaver for a while. But I was suspended on air for 2 weeks because of Media Matters. They lied about me. And you could sue them for libel and defamation. And the people who say this, by the way, they're like, well, why didn't you just sue them? You clearly have never been involved in lawfare. I have. It is the most expensive case to litigate. And you don't have law firms out there that do it pro bono. And to do it properly, you're talking about getting at least $1,000 an hour law firm. And that's cheap. That's cheap. In fact, I recently stepped toe-to-toe and fought off an entity that was trying to silence me. And I had a $3,800 an hour law firm because I was going to drive the point home. So it's very, very expensive. And I've countered people. I've had other people come at me before and say, I don't like what you said about me, even though they've smeared me. And I've countered saying that I will sue them in every single city where I have affiliates and I will ruin their lives and I will take everything that they own. And then they back down. It's very expensive to do. It's the most expensive thing to litigate. And I am very well versed in it. So, never lost. So, that said, the reason I bring that up is because Media Matters, who did I say they were funded by? Their own Elon Musk. They have their own leftist version of Elon Musk. And until Elon Musk, the right didn't have anybody that was like Elon Musk, because billionaires and millionaires on the right don't do that kind of stuff. They do stupid think tanks where they write white papers and grease each other's butts. That's all they do. That's literally all they do. They, you know, they don't invest in art and entertainment. They don't, hell, they don't invest in social media. They wait until the left to do it. And then they bitch about why is it? That's all they do on the right. So it's incredibly frustrating. So when Musk started going after Media Matters, there were fewer people out there that were as happy as I was. And they've done this. When I was guest hosting The View, my gosh, they tried going after The View. I got really mad at them too, because there for a while when there was power jockeying on the right and I made a joke about Thomas the Tank, Media Matters ran the story and even Breitbart picked it up. But that's when it was under sloppy Steve Bannon, who's a total disgrace, and called Donald Trump Jr. a traitor. And now look where he is, pay for play, stupid radio. Anyway, but sometimes the right works with them. That's true. Sickening, isn't it? And they empower them that way. Anyway, back to my point. That tell-all book's going to be something one day. Back to my point. The New York Times piece says they're struggling. And they've already let a lot of people go. I have seen that. And you've seen it. We've had it in headlines. They've let a lot of people go. They slashed the size of their staff. They've been trying to raise money. They're not able to do it. And I wanted to... There's this piece. Here's a piece from the story. Listen to this. This is funny. In early February, frustrated by what some at Media Matters saw as the high cost and slow pace of their lawyers at the influential Democrat firm, the Elias Law Group, the advocacy group began transitioning the X cases to different law firms. An Elias lawyer notified the group that it owed roughly $4 million. They say, quote, "We understand this case has been and remains very difficult for everyone involved, as was Musk's intention when he brought it," said Ezra Reese, the chair for the Elias Political Law Group, in an email to Angelo Caruso and Media Matters lead fundraiser Mary Pat Bonner. So these are two people who lead Media Matters. Mr. Reese offered to wipe away about half of the unpaid tally in exchange for a payment of $2.5 million within about a week. If the group did not commit to the payment plan, Reese wrote, his firm would expect full payment of the original amount and would go, quote, pins down and take steps to withdraw from the case by the end of the month. The ultimatum did not sit well with inside Media Matters. "You must be kidding," Ms. Bonner responded to Mr. Reese. "This is how you treat people who have been clients for 16 years and are friends?" Yes, and it's glorious. And I'm tired of pretending that it's not. That's well deserved. It is absolutely well deserved. They went after, Media Matters went after everyone and everything. Every conservative that was smeared in the past 20 years has been because of Media Matters. The biggest attacks on me came from actually Bannon's people and Media Matters. They worked together. Isn't that interesting? So Media Matters has been behind, George Soros has been behind all of this stuff. The attacks, the trans smearing of conservatives over trans attacks, that's Media Matters. Going after people who wanted the integrity of the vote, that's Media Matters. And you have all of these little executives in MSNBC and CNN, they wake up and they read this. They look at Media Matters as though they are gospel. No joke. And like I said with the tweet, how they were saying, well, Dana Loesch said, let's shoot Muslims into space, simply because I was saying, well, why is Department of Defense getting into energy? And this was on Obama's inaugural address, or not inaugural, sorry, State of the Union speech. And I'm like, and NASA is going to be about Muslim outreach. So is space going to be about, like, is the Department of Muslim Outreach going to be about space? And that was legitimate observation. I never said shoot anybody into space, but that's not what they... That's not what they intimated. And so as a result, I 2 weeks I wasn't on air because of their smear piece. They never corrected. They never apologized. They would get things like dramatically wrong. They would try to dox me, and they would get things about my life wrong, because there's somebody from my state that had my exact first name and maiden name, and we lived in the same county. And they literally, there was like a story that they ended up deleting, and it went into the memory hole where they were writing about like somebody's life story that was not me, but it was someone who had my last name in the county that I lived in. I mean, that's how bad it is. They're not even good at what they do. They're not even good at like sourcing material. They would never correct. And no one acknowledges this at CNN or MSNBC. There are stories that they run and The View that are based on the stuff that Media Matters posts. So, yes, I can't wait until they're unemployed. I can't wait until the pathetic people that worked at that outlet have to stand in the unemployment line and beg for a job. I cannot wait, because all the hell that they have caused so many people, simply because people wanted to make the country better, they wanted to make sure that people followed laws, they wanted to make sure that we had lower taxes and decent health care, and they were attacked and smeared and doxxed, and their families were targeted by this absolute rat bastard entity that was founded by a disgruntled Republican who became a Democrat and funded by Soros and friends. I cannot wait until they're circling the ninth pit of hell. Can't wait. I shouldn't say that because, you know, Schadenfreude, but they deserve it.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion won. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A man accused of taking a stolen boat on a naked joyride in the Hudson River escaped from a Manhattan hospital. Really? Anybody else shocked by that? He took a stolen boat. He escaped from the New York Presbyterian Hospital in Washington Heights, where he was undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. And you're surprised. They said 36-year-old Stephen Blassetti slipped out. That's why it was difficult. Blassetti slipped out of his handcuffs Wednesday morning. The police officer watching him, this is like a movie, fell asleep. It was all on security camera. And then he put on a doctor's jacket and slipped out of the hospital. This is a movie. He was charged with grand larceny, criminal possession of stolen property, reckless endangerment, a whole bunch of other stuff when he took the stolen boat in the Hudson River. So, yeah, not so. How did that? I mean, no, goodness. How do you? ChatGPT gave instructions for murder, self-mutilation, oh, and devil worship. Oh, my goodness. Like, that's, it's bad. This is bad. ChatGPT, I'm just saying, look, all of this stuff reacts to human observation and what you feed it. It doesn't have power on its own. The entirety of its power is dependent upon human observation. And it's going to be control over influencing AI, more so than influencing people, is going to be the new thing, really. A school district says doctor's notes will no longer excuse a child absence. You know, the school's got to get that money, because if you got a kid that's out, they lose money that day. A school and district in Tennessee said doctor's notes will not excuse it. They said they're trying to improve the district's attendance rate. Many parents are against it, like strep throat, flu, etc. So they basically want kids to go to school with strep throat and flu and all that and infect all the other kids. You absolute idiot school district. Good grief. That's just some of these. I can't. Let's see. Oh, I had a couple from last that I didn't get to. So do you guys remember the banana? I think this is stupid. I hate modern art. I think modern art's a big old tax evasion scam. Maurizio Catalan's almost $10 million banana. Did you? I hate these ads. He basically tapes a banana to a wall. And then this is like the third, fourth iteration of it. And then he sells it for millions. Apparently someone went to the museum and ate it. It's called The Comedian. Somebody took it off the wall and ate it.
Again?
It's not the first time. It happened again in 2019 in Miami at their Art Basel. It happened there. And then it happened, I think, in 23, 24. Yeah, four or five times this has happened. Stick with it. We got a lot more on the way to finish out this Friday.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
An absentia. If GPS helps them get in the court, I'm all behind it.
Tom, a longtime friend of the president passed away today. Hulk Hogan, dead at 71. Do you have a favorite Hulk Hogan memory?
I love Hulk Hogan. I got I had an Italian Mastiff dog, 200 pounds. His name, Hulk Hogan.
Sir, has the president spoken to you at all about?
I like that.
That's what I do.
I love it. Yeah, it's Hulk Hogan. Somebody found a picture of his dog. And they put it up online, and that dog is beautiful. Now I want a King Corso. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you. It's good to be with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. It's Friday. It's hot. It's a dry heat. It's we're getting you set up for the weekend. We were making a lot of fun of Media Matters here. Because it's funny to do so. They're in a lot of trouble. I had a couple of other things that I wanted to get. We talked about the influencer culture, etc., which is insane to me. I also wanted to get, where is this at? I had this on, this is it. I didn't get to this in the beginning, and this was kind of trending last night. The New York Post has the story. So I don't know who runs the social media account for Democrats. But they messed up last night. Did you see what they did, Kay?
No.
They did. It was a big, bad thing. So they had an X post. It's not up anymore because they had to delete it. They had an X post wherein they were discussing the price of all of these things, right?
Oh, I saw that.
Groceries and all kinds of stuff. And they were trying to slam Trump by saying the cost of these things had skyrocketed. It included this graph of soaring cheese, alcohol, I'm going down the list, dairy, grocery, produce, meat prices, and it went all the way back to October 2019. Now, the weird thing is the big inflection point on the graph, the like point where everything started going up, was right at the start of 2021. What happened there?
2021?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Biden was in office in 2021.
Yeah, because it's the election.
Yeah, Democrats were in charge of the White House.
2020. So, like, if it started kicking up in 2021, I don't think Trump was in the White House then.
Nope, he sure wasn't.
So that was Biden.
Sure was.
So they literally posted a graph. And they called it Trump's America. And it literally shows in 2021, that's when everything kicked up. It was low and stable going into 2020, 2019, going into 2020. And then 2021, boom, skyrocketing. They thought they were dunking on Trump with this. You can see, okay, Juan's showing you right now. Look at the graph. So you see on the bottom left, of your screen. It's really low. It's all the way down. And then it right there, 2021, if you're looking at the very bottom numbers above where it says cheese, alcohol, grocery, that third to the right is 2021. That's where it starts kicking up. And then that's all Biden in office. They literally put that out there to try to slam Trump. All of the high parts were Biden. I cannot believe that's like the dumbest post I've ever seen in the history of political posting. Well, one of. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was looking at those. I could not even believe it. And then they had to delete the tweet. There's the graph that explains it. You can see where Trump was out of office at that point, where you see where it was. They put that up. They literally put it up and said, Trump's America. And they were like, they were trying to slam Trump, acting like he was the one who caused all this stuff. And then when people, oh my gosh, it got ratioed. Do you remember what the ratio was? It was, I've never seen a ratio like that. Yeah, it was bad. It was like hundreds of thousands of comments to it. Even Democrats were like, I don't think this shows what you think it shows. Yeah. So they deleted it. They deleted the tweet. They deleted it. And then they just try to pretend. What do you mean? What tweet? We don't know. What are you talking about? It wasn't our, but the internet's forever. That's why we have, you know, the screenshot of the tweet, because the internet's forever. Oh my gosh. It's, this is just one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. The rates, the inflation rate under Biden, I think it peaked at an annual rate of like 9.1%. And that was just a little over a year after he took office. It peaked. About 17 months, because it takes a little bit for things to work or not work. And by the end of his term, the cost of food had exploded to like 22% by more than 22%. I think it was actually rounded up. I think it was 23% from the time that he took the oath of office. And that is federal data. And I have, let me pull this up on my, pardon me, I'm pulling it up right now off of my bookmark. So this is the federal data from the stlouisfed.org, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. And it shows all of this stuff. And it shows literally how it, I mean, you can see everything with it. So that's where the information is coming from. I just cannot believe that they are so stupid that they actually posted this. It is one of the dumbest things. And then they deleted it. Like, no one's going to know that we deleted this. Nobody will know. Maybe they won't notice. Like, isn't that kind of a pattern with them? Like when they switched out Biden, maybe no one will notice. But yeah, that was from the St. Louis Federal Reserve. And you can see completely when all of this started. All of it started. Yeah. Look out after the election. You had coming out of COVID. COVID was rough. So yeah, they did this with Biden too, when they switched out Biden. Actually, when they were pretending that Biden could actually president, which he couldn't. No, maybe no one will know. Maybe they won't know that Biden doesn't know where he is. And maybe they won't know that he can't even remember his own life story, Kane.
Is it just me, or are they horrible with graphs and social media? Because remember that 3 cents that they were trying to brag about when it was talking about gas prices, remember?
Yes.
And they made it look like there was this big dip in gas prices.
Yes.
And it wasn't even 3 cents. Yeah, they're horrible.
They're really
graphs.
Bad with it. Yeah, you're correct. They're really bad with it. They're bad. It's bad at memes. They're bad at a lot of stuff. I mean, our expectations for them were low, but
I know.
Oh my gosh, this was, you know, this was a lot. Then they posted this thing. Hold up, I don't know if you got this one. I don't think I put this in Slack earlier. My apologies. They posted this. And it's, they said it's time to give Americans a raise. And so it shows, you know, what the minimum wage was all these years from 2009 going to 2025. Kane,
yeah.
Who was President Moore? What party was President Moore from 2009 to 2025?
2009 to 2025 were definitely Democrats.
Like over 70% of the time that was Democrat administration.
Definitely Democrats.
So yeah, they posted this. They literally posted this.
And also
after they deleted the first thing.
House and Senate majorities as well.
Yeah. They said it's time to give Americans a raise, and they posted this image. So of those years that Democrats were in charge, that was like over 70% of the time they were the ones in charge. Yes, Kane? Yes, go ahead, sir.
Like, it's only the Trump term that they weren't in charge, I think.
Yeah, and even when they lost the House in 2010, because we worked so hard to take the House back, they still kept the Senate. Yeah. And then they ended up getting the House back later. But they were controlling, they controlled Congress. It wasn't just the White House. They were controlling Congress. So over 70% of that time, they were in charge. So I don't know. They posted that right after the other one. Good heavens. It's just crazy. The minimum wage, I think, is stifling, but that's a whole other discussion. But this is where, I mean, it's just one of the dumbest things I think I've ever seen. I think it's like one of the biggest self-owns on social media from that party. And there's quite a lot of them on there. Like Hillary Clinton has a bunch, but this is a really bad one. And they don't get it. I mean, do they not understand? Do they just not expect any kind of accountability for their own actions? I literally have no idea what to make of this. What do I make of this? I don't even know what it, I don't even know. This is so goofy. I can't even believe this is a thing. It's so ridiculous. Oh my gosh. But that's the way it is. Now, the immigration issue, I don't know if you saw this. Greece is done. Greece. I know, that was letting all these people come in on boats. They're overwhelmed. In fact, they've said, don't come here. We'll put you in jail or send you home. That's their new immigration minister that said this. Their new Greek immigration minister, Thanos Pelvris, said, we want to help real refugees, but we're not going to be taken for fools. It is the end of the fairy tale for those coming to Greece and Europe in incredible numbers. These aren't women and children. They're mainly men aged between 18 and 30 who are economic migrants. We are not a hotel. And they said that, yes, you are going to go to jail or you're going to get a ticket home if you try to come here illegally by boat to Greece. It may be too late, though. I mean, personally, I think it's too late. On Crete, they had over 10,000 in 1 year. The tiny little island of Crete. Yeah. They had 4,000 in the first week of this month alone. After this guy, just right after he gets in office, they had a surge of 4,000 that arrived illegally on the island. I think there's a lot of places. I don't know if you can undo the damage that's been done. Lawlessness and the refusal to assimilate, which is a huge issue. The refusal to assimilate is such an issue. That is part of what immigration is. You assimilate to the country to which you are immigrating. The country does not assimilate to you, the immigrant. You assimilate. It's how it is everywhere. It's how it is in the United States. You assimilate. You assimilate into liberty. You don't try to bring tyranny here. So I just don't know if this is something that they're going to be able to undo. They're still fighting with the fallout of this in Italy. Italy's gotten very conservative, and they've made a lot of really good moves, but they also have a crazy unemployment problem with their youth. Like the youth, I think, like men under the age of 30, I think it's like 20% unemployment rate. It's insane. It is crazy what's happening. And this is just obliterating, you know, it's obliterating the structure of countries and stability. And it's all men. It's all dudes. It's not women and children. It's all dudes. Coming into Britain, coming in, is Keir Starmer going to listen? They're having their own issue with boatloads of people coming in. Are they going to listen? France didn't listen. France tried to get too tough too late. Austria, I mean, they might be able to stave it off and prevent it, but, you know, it's an invasion. It's an invasion, but behind the veneer of being a refugee. You know, it's like, I mean, this has always been an issue in this area, whether it's, you know, the Iberian Peninsula, whether you're looking at Greece, whatever it is, going up through Europe and then the EU with their passport and travel regulations that just made it easier for everyone to get through. I mean, that was a big thing with Charlie Hebdo. Remember? It's the second time we talked about this today in terms of people coming in from different nations and refusal to assimilate and wanting to attack everything that's not what they want.
There's a time and a place for filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. Sit in the hip like when McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So apparently Florida officials were saying that Democrats were putting their thermometers near light bulbs at Alligator Alcatraz so that they could pretend that it was really hot there.
What?
Yeah, that's what they were doing. Yeah, they could. The visitors who thought they could come in illegally and I guess go to the Sofitel in New York, they were really upset that instead they're, you know, at Alligator Alcatraz and they're getting cold ham sandwiches. Oh my gosh, not cold ham sandwiches, you absolute welfare grifting POSs. Oh my gosh. What were they saying? Get that audio. What were they saying? Like they wanted it toasted or something? Play this for me if we have this. They were mad because they wanted their sandwiches toasted, and DeSantis blasted them for this and was like, are you people insane? He's like, this isn't a Jimmy John's, or what did he say? Did he say that? Yeah, listen to this. This is funny.
Making these claims, and they're saying, oh, they're not fed well. Well, first of all, they're fed the same that the staff is fed. You know, you go to like a and it's not a prison, it's a deportation processing center, so it is different. But like in Florida prisons, do you think the prisoners get the same meals as the guards? No, of course not. It's different. This is everyone's the same there. And they were mad that the ham sandwiches weren't toasted. Excuse me? I mean, give me a break. So DHS, you know, required there to be certain things. I know the legal was a part of that. There is recreation. People say there's not, and there is. People will show. So I'm confident that whatever is required will be set.
This is
so
asinine. They were mad, and they were. Can you believe that I'd eat a cold ham sandwich? It wasn't toasted. Where in the hell are these? I'm sorry, but you're not really a refugee if you're mad that your ham sandwich isn't toasted. You're just a grifter who thought that they could bust up into the United States illegally and try to guilt trip everyone into giving you welfare. That's all this is. Go the hell back home. Your sandwich wasn't toasted. Maybe if they get their teeth knocked out, they wouldn't have to worry about eating sandwiches. Okay, today in stupidity, Kane.
Dang. All right, Juan, this is cut 23. I don't really think I have to set this up at all. It's Rashida Tlaib. And she's got a giant metal spoon. She also has a giant condiment container, metal, that you see in delis and all-you-can-eat buffets. Yeah, here, this is what she's doing.
This is all for you.
She's doing it for Palestine.
For what?
Ooh, feel that.
She's calling the goats to dinner.
Feel what? All that effort she's making.
It's the least I could do.
Literally. It is the least she could do.
Heaven help us all. Folks, that does it for us this week. Make sure you go sign up at Substack, Facebook, and YouTube. Like and subscribe, because sometimes we post stuff up on, I put stuff up on Facebook. Of course, Instagram, you know, D-Lash over at Instagram as well. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. Have a wonderful weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.